Blog Talk Radio.
With LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, get a pen and some paper, and you can take some notes. And at the end of the broadcast, if you have any questions or any comments that you'd like to make, we'd like to give you an opportunity to do that so that iron can sharpen iron. And so now we'll go ahead and get started with the ministry for today. So if you would, join your heart with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your words. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. Spirit, and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is the title of the ministry tonight is, again, Strife, the Pathway to Failure. This is part 6 or 7. It's just one of those things that I believe God wants us to know, to pull apart so that we can see when we enter into it, so that we can avoid it, so that we can win. You know, as we go through life day by day, we're going to have countless opportunities to either enjoy grace or endure pain. It's our choice, and it would be wise for us to know that the enemy of our soul is leading us in a path that's not going to be beneficial. It might feel good. The Bible even says that sin has pleasure for a season. So it might feel good. You might get satisfaction out of that pound of flesh. You know, when you get your revenge and well, first of all, when you try to get revenge, let me just help you out so that you can understand. When you're trying to get revenge, that sets you up as a robber because God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Okay, so if you try to get revenge, that puts you in the position of a robber. And you should know that no robber will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? That if you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and you're trying to cause things to be sustained, then you're going to have to now practice robbery. Okay? One thing, because you're mad, you just want to get even and get people to understand not to mess with you. I get that construct, but it's wrong. Because, see, if you would know for certainty, as God has promised you, that he said that he would fight for you. So that if he will fight for you, my question becomes, why would you be fighting for yourself? That would speak to the heart's position that doesn't trust the Lord. Proverbs 3:4-5, come on, it says it. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your thought process that says, I'm going to get revenge. Okay? We've got to grow up in this. I pray that almost every time that I start the broadcast, that he would grow us up. See? So that we would be able to know how to function in the grace that has us, that has appeared to all men. We've got to grow in grace. You know, a lot of times we've been under the influence that God has sloppy agape. He's just there to cover my mistakes. No, he told you to grow in grace. Grace is not for your mistakes. You might want to write that one down. Grace is not for my mistakes. It's for my maturation. He wants us to grow in it so that we will then display the love that grace opens up to us. I hope you can see that. See, grace opens up the love of God. Just as a point of reference so you can see that, turn to Romans chapter 5. Okay, so that you can just see that. Grace opens up to us love. Okay? Starting at verse 1, we'll just go there. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Okay, so he's going to ask you to function from a different mindset, different heart's position. So he says that we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. So then if you're standing in grace, okay, this is what he just told us, right? Just looking at the scripture. He said we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And as we stand, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So then if I'm standing there and I am being challenged, attacked, then he says the way that you're going to win, this is the victory plan that God has for you as you stand under attack. Okay, come on, y'all. Woo, Jesus. As you stand under attack, please maintain the position of love that opens up grace. Stay in the position of faith that opens up this love. Stay there. He already knows what's coming at you. Okay. He knows what's coming at you before it is even made manifest to you. And if you would listen at him in the time of trouble, did he not say that he was a very present help in the time of trouble? Why is it then that when we feel like things are not going right, we forget that he said he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us, but we feel like he's not there? Okay, again, let's look at the the scripture. These are not the notes that I had. This is just where we're going, because you've got to begin to understand these things. You've got to, first of all, purpose in your heart that you want to believe what the word says so that you can enjoy what the word says. Every promise that God has given you is a promise of affirmation. It says all of the promises of God are yes, that's affirmation, and amen. That means so be it. See? So then if he promised he would never leave, he means he will never leave. But just like Samson, we go through life not knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is not supporting the mess that we're doing. Didn't say he wasn't gone. He's not gone. He doesn't support that mess. When you stand under attack, align your heart with the position that my victory is already present. Okay. See, I say these things, and I hear scripture that helps us. It says that that when you are tempted, this is what God does. At the same time of the temptation, he makes a way of escape. Just again, hold your finger. We're coming back to this in Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 10, okay, verse 13. Okay, we're coming right back to this. But these are the – this is dividing the word, rightly dividing the word. This is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, okay? Because we're going to have to learn to put the scriptures in the place that they would cause victory to be walked out. These are our steps, beloved. These are the preordained steps that we should walk in. In other words, every trial, he's already given you the escape plan if you would listen at him. If you would believe that he said he'll never leave you or forsake you, that means that there must be information that's coming to you, that is surrounding you. Jesus Christ. God said he is a jealous God and he will not have any other gods before him. So that means that the trial did not get there before your Savior did, before your deliverer did. He gets there first. But generally, we pay more attention to the trial and forget about our God, our deliverer, our Savior. We should keep, again, these are just scriptures. We're supposed to keep our minds stayed on him. Why? He will keep him. He will keep him in perfect peace. It did not say that he would bring him to perfect peace. It said he would keep him in perfect peace. So you were already there. But you're looking at the because as a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man, so is he. See? So you're thinking about, getting upset about, and so then you forget that God has already made promise concerning you. Okay? So this is what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no, you can circle the word no, okay? No, not one. There is no temptation taking you, but first of all, it has to be common to man. But God is faithful, who will not. Again, you can get that circle, the will not. See, this is the way he's looking at it. It says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. He didn't say that you're going to be in a situation that you're not able. He said he will not allow you to get into any situation. There is no temptation taking you, but it's common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation. Parenthesis, with the temptation. That means at the same time the temptation is manifest, there has to be some answer from God. With the temptation. He's not bringing, okay, we're going to see that in a minute too. He's not bringing the temptation to teach you. He's trying to get you to believe that with the temptation, he's already there. He's a very present. help. He's not an on-the-way God. See? I just don't know how we begin to think these ways. He is as close to you as your next breath. Amen. Because he's the one that gave you that breath. And he breathed into man the breath of life. So then, with that breath, let everything that hath breath praise. So I don't know, maybe you think you can praise and be mad at the same time. That's an exercise you can go ahead and do right now. You can think of something that made you mad and then try to praise and see what happens to the complaint that you had. Because it will not occupy the same place. Because praise stops the enemy. So then if you would just practice what he says, put it in your heart to say, okay, good. When I'm tried, know that God will not allow me to be tempted above that which I am able. And will at the same time with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to move it, bear it, not to endure it. Amen. He did not cause something so that you could show your strength. Okay, so that you can get this. He is inside of you. He has a track record of whatever in zero. Why would he try to get you to prove your strength? He doesn't lose. When you allow yourself to depend on, rely on, trust in him, he will then bring victory because he cannot lose. His word, even if you didn't understand it, because he said it, it's still true. I was driving the other day and just, you know, kind of talking to God, and he said some things, and I said, oh, really? And I wasn't saying, oh, really, because I was, you know, doubting. I was just saying, oh, really, because maybe I was in shock, if you would. And then he said, did I not say it? And even if you didn't understand it, my saying it made it so. He will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of his mouth. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? He said he can make it good. See, that's why we hold on to the word. Meditate on the word day and night. That tells me there's not a time that I should not be meditating on the word. So that I don't have time to be thinking about my revenge then, do I? Because, again, if I think about the word, I will hear quickly, vengeance is mine, I'll do the repaying. And there was a time in the Bible that maybe the children of Israel forgot, but God told him, he said, now, we're going to do this after we get delivered. Go back and deal with these people because they treated you bad. I didn't forget that. I mean, we've got to learn to, again, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, then our way will be directed, because he said, if you acknowledge him, then he will direct your paths, with an S. The devil's trying to get you, the devil's trying to get you to walk out in strife, and that's not God's path for you. But through every trial, there are seven different ways that you can get out of the trial, because every word of God is tried seven ways. See? So as you listen and meditate, and he will just give you an unction that you hadn't really thought about as a way out, and you'll say, wow, there it is. It's that simple, yeah? It's simplicity in Christ Jesus. See? So there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So if you're saying things like, I can't handle this, you just called God a liar, because he said he was faithful and will not suffer you. He didn't say he will not suffer me that's teaching you. He said he will not suffer you. God makes this thing personal. Amen. It's a one-on-one deal. The agreement causes it to flow easier in the earth. But it's a, first of all, you have to believe it. See? Because if two are required to agree and you don't believe, we have no possibility of the number two, do we? So it requires you to believe. Then God will give you support structure. And he will open up things. Just because agreement happens, then he opens up all of the heavenly support structure that you would need. See, because agreement does that. Even God came down when he saw the people was one in Genesis chapter 11. He said, the people is one. They were building the Tower of Babel. And God came down and said, well, now, they done found about agreement. They walking in agreement. He said, the people is one. Therefore, this thing that they imagine to do, nothing can be restrained from them. They'll be up here in heaven in a minute because agreement is the power they tapped into. See? So God is teaching us, training us to align ourselves with his word. See? And strife is the beginnings of your problems. Strife is the sowing ground for the problems of your life. See? Because when you start arguing with anybody, up to and including God, the enemy comes in because there is separation right there. That is the crack that he comes in. The place of division is the place that the enemy comes in. That's his point of entry. That's why he says things to us like this. It's good. Behold, look into how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, he's looking for that. Jesus even prayed that. Father, I pray that they will be one, even as you and I are one. I in you and you in me. Oh, Jesus. See, I hadn't thought about that. Woo! At John chapter 17, he said, I in you and you in me and them in us. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. I in you. Agreement was so, it is so connected that there is no division between the two. It didn't say me with you. It says me in you. Whew. Glory to God. That's the kind of agreement Jesus is looking for. I in you, you in me, and we connected to them that way. Whew. I mean, with that thought process, where can the devil enter in? Amen. There's no possibility because he promised, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You and I are connected by covenant. Not going to change my mind about that. Not going to alter the thing that is going forth out of my mouth. Doesn't it teach us in Colossians, that the chapter 3, that our life is hid in him? Not with him. That probably would be good, but he's asking for a different level. He said that my life is hid in him. See? It's more than just a nodding of the head and say, yeah, I like that. It is a nodding of the heart and says, yes, I'll live that. Mm. See? Go back to Romans chapter 5. See, this is how we align ourselves and the word, the scriptures. We build a house. A wise man builds a house because of what he heard is truth from the Spirit of God. He builds the house. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. See, they're not tripping. Notice they didn't trip into it. Instead, they ran into it. In order to run, last time I checked, in order to run, you have to be upright. Amen. That's the only way that I know that you're going to run. You have to be in the proper position. But if you're stumbling, he didn't say, and the righteous stumbled into it. The righteous fell into it. Some kind of an accident. Well, you know, I just ended up. No. It's done on purpose. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, But we glory. Maybe y'all should underline this one just real. God, he the one. I did not put this in your Bible. Okay? It says not only so, but we glory in tribulations with an S. Amen. See, because sometimes we keep saying to God, you know, we can't go through this. He said, you say that over one trouble. Please know that you have more in you that you can go through. You can glory in tribulations. It says, knowing. So if you're going to go through, and I'll say this again later, if you're going to go through correctly, you're going to have to know something. This ain't a reaching and grasping and hoping thing by itself. This is a knowing and then putting your hands on the promise that God is giving, working, handling it. Handle the word of truth. Work with it. The word of God is not something that you would put up in a predominant place of display. When you walk in the word, it becomes the thing that people look at and notice. Remember about Peter? It said that in Acts chapter 4, it said they were ignorant and unlearned men. And the people that was watching said they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They took the knowledge because it was being offered. It was not in a place where they'd say, I know about God. No. They walked with God. They communed with God. They handled the word of truth. It was personal. And then people can take knowledge that you had been with Jesus. It is easy to see then. They notice the anointing. They notice the presence. They notice the peace. They notice the joy. Here, come on, y'all. Let's listen at it. Let's listen at it. Because I told you that the love of God opens up the grace of God. That's how we got to this point here. The love of God opens up the grace of God. Watch this. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh or employs patience. He's going to say this again in the book of James, okay? He says that tribulations worketh patience. Okay, let me just ask a question. When you're going through something, do you let it work your nerves or do you allow it to work patience? Patience means being consistently, constantly the same. That's what patience means. It does not mean just to put up with. It means that whatever I had before the trial started, I'm going to maintain what I already have. I'm not going to let the devil move me off my square, take my joy. I'm going to start with and continue with the thing that I already have. Do you see that? Okay. So if I don't have joy before the trial, I'm not going to let joy be released during the trial. It says, but we know that. You have to know that it did not come to check your oil. It came to see if patience was going to be released, being consistently, constantly the same. Are you going to be one of those up and down Christians, or are you going to be one that is consistently the same? I don't have to make a reputation for myself and then try to protect that reputation. I don't have that working so that I can be consistently, constantly the same, can't I? But if I'm trying to protect my reputation, no, my emotions are going to get involved in that one, ain't they? Yeah. So then when my emotions, things that move, when they get involved, I cannot be consistently, constantly the same, can I? And then the enemy who's watching all of this is going to continue to use that as the trigger. That's where the trap is, the scandal on. See? And then he just goes, says this, do that. Next thing you know, trigger, here we go. We are all in the flesh because we didn't know something. What is it he wants us to know? Know that tribulation employs patience, calls for patience, works patience. And when the patience is active, it employs the right way to go through it, experience. Okay. Woo, that's good, sir. When you hear the right way to go through it, that would probably be the way Jesus went through it. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to the ones that did receive him, he gave them power. He was able to impart to them. He came to bless. He did not come to curse. He did not come to fight. He came to bless. So then when you allow patience to have the work that's necessary, as you stand in that place of victory, it says now the patience will release experience. There are two ways to get experience. Two ways to get information. Experience that you either passed or failed, or revelation, which still gives you an experience. A revelation is an experience that Jesus has already went through. That's what the Holy Ghost brings back to your remembrance. He brings back to your remembrance what Jesus said, how he walked it out. There are steps preordained that we should walk in. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, when we begin to do that habitually, on the fly, all the time, this is what we do. You can count on that. Then you have a mind that is being renewed in the area of attack so that strife will not have a place. It won't set in. Okay, good. He says, and in patience works, it calls for. That's good. Let's say it that way. Patience then calls for experience. It did not say it was calling for or working your experience only, because some of your experiences might be bad. And because of a bad experience, you never get to victory. But he's wanting to deliver you. So then he probably won't, just being wise, he probably won't try to deliver you through your bad experience, will he? Amen. He wants you to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So he's not the one bringing up bad experiences for you. That would be your enemy. And then you listen at and play with those experiences rather than hear a revelation and use the experience that Jesus brings to the plate, to the fight. I mean, this gets to be so. Did he not say, if you're heavy laden, if you got burdens, come here. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For when you do that, you'll find rest unto your souls. But we go say, well, no. See, I got to tell them a thing or two. No, you don't have to tell them a thing or two. Talk to God. Talk to yourself. Then speak into the atmosphere that which is necessary. Your words are not supposed to be words of revenge. Your words are, you're supposed to bless and not curse. So that you can, come on now, so that you can receive your blessing. See, every situation that you go through, you have an opportunity to sow into that situation. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you have an opportunity right there. That's why Jesus, he did not come to condemn, But to those that would believe, he would give everlasting life, eternal life. But you don't believe that you already have been made more than a conqueror. I don't know, maybe it is because we think that the way we want to handle this session, this attack, is going to be the thing that makes us. No, you are already made. Come on now, beloved. He made you more than a conqueror. You're already made. You were made in his image, after his likeness. You're already made. But your training says you need to make yourself over again so that they will know not to mess with you. That's not the mind of Christ. Patience calls for experience. And experience works hope, calls for hope. You in Romans, turn to chapter 15, verse 13. See, hope, listen at what hope, again, they're connected. Grace, love is going to open up the grace of God, which is going to then call for the hope of God. Why? Because verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, when you allow God to do this, he's going to always bring to the fight more than the fight requires. I hope you can just write that down. God is going to bring to the fight more than the fight requires, because he's going to guarantee your victory. He always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. So he's going to bring to the fight more than is necessary for the fight. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. See, he's going to teach us, wow, he's going to teach us how to live in the abundance. Because when you live in peace, the definition we have for peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. He's teaching us how to live in the abundance. He already gave it to us. But we keep putting it aside and going to go work flesh to get it. Every situation that comes, he wants to teach you how to live in the abundance. Not give it to you, teach you to live in it. Did he not say, my peace I give unto you? My joy I give. Now the challenge is to have the joy to remain, to be engaged. And go back to chapter 5. And patience is going to call for experience above your grade, if you would. How did Jesus do it? How did God display it? You don't have to try to go through life with your experiences as the lead. You can go through life with his experience. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony, things he did, that's the testimony, is your future, the spirit of prophecy. He's wanting to train us, equip us to live in abundance. Wow. When you live there, things that would be a challenge, he allows the abundance that he called you to meet the need, exceed the need, actually, would be better. Because now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. I hope you got that. That's the rest of the sentence. It's he's waiting on the power to be active in you, because when that power is active in you, now unto him who's able to do that. Peter came one time, and he said, Jesus, we got to pay taxes. And Jesus asked him questions, and he said, who has to pay taxes, the stranger or the one that lives here? And then they gave him the answer, and he said, nevertheless, so that we will not offend. Notice this. He didn't have to do it, but he said, so that we would not offend. Go down to the water and catch the first fish, listen at these words, that cometh up. He said, catch the fish that cometh up. In other words, it was already instructed to do the things necessary, because God's going to come to every trial with more than enough to meet the trial. Go down, Peter, you fisherman, you. And the first fish that cometh up, he said, take that fish, and in that fish's mouth you will find gold that will pay my taxes and your taxes. He made the fish his banker. See? Why? Because you are in a supernatural dimension that does not require your effort. It requires your belief. It requires your submission. It requires your trust. You already know what to do. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. Please remember, he said you're supposed to get the first fish. The first fish tells me that there has to be a second fish and a third fish and a 150th fish, because this is not the first time that Jesus began to sink his boat, was it? Amen. He comes with more than enough. He's El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. See? When we submit ourselves to the process that he's already worked out, that we would go and we would say, wait a minute, I have access by faith into this grace. And this grace is going to take me into the love of God. Watch this. As you go on through it, it says, and when this hope is alive, this hope then makes not ashamed, because why? The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, not some joy, with all joy. And all peace. It's inferred because the and connects the all to the next word. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in the believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See? So in that whole exchange, you did not see strife active at all, did you? What you saw in this exchange is submission to the word of God, submission to the love of God, submission to the love to the grace of God. And as you submit, then he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, because the power is working in you. See, that's knowing something. Okay? So then we can stop the devil from gaining traction in our life, because we purpose to stop strife, because strife is the pathway to failure. When I feel like I've got to put my muscles involved, put my thinking of revenge, see, then I'm already on the path to failure. Because what I've done is I've separated myself from the love of God. Because, again, the love of God never fails. His love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out on me. He's in the fight with me. I am part of his body. I'm connected to him by covenant. See? And God protects the word that has gone forth out of his mouth. It will not return to him void. It will accomplish. It will prosper. The weapon cannot prosper, but his word is designed to grow in you through whatever test or trial you might find yourself in. Let's go to James chapter 1. And this is just going to be confirmation of what we've already opened up. Okay? Starting in the very first part of it, because he's going to repeat it. Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three. Okay? Here comes the second witness. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Again, look at what he said. He said that there are some things we're supposed to know. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, employs patience, develops patience, is looking for patience. Not the trying of you, the trying of the victory. Wow, wow. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So the enemy comes to try the faith. Because if you're going to look for a hammer, a gun, a rock to be your defense, to be your deliverer, then you didn't reach for faith that was guaranteed. One thing about an equalizer is what they used to call that, is that you might win the fight today, but there's another one coming tomorrow. And he's going to have a bigger rock, a bigger gun. You see how the thing gets crazy. But if you learn to fight in the spirit, you learn to win in the spirit, then you get the upgrade that's necessary for you to no longer have to deal with that, because he will cause you to be living in the elevated place where he's called you to. And where is that place? Far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. He says, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Then he said, do this. Let patience have her perfect work with you. See? Don't you quit on patience. Let patience have a completed work in you. The battle is not against flesh and blood anyway. So the flesh and blood that you are looking at came to give you an opportunity to function in the spirit so that you can win. It wasn't against them. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But sometimes in our mind, in our heart, in our history, we go to wrestling. We go show them, no, 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 no. Let patience, being consistently, constantly the same, have her perfect work with you. Well, why? Looks like they win. No, they can't win, because when you let patience have her perfect work with you, you will be perfect. You will be entire. You will be wanting nothing. You will have been trained how to live in this abundance. Okay, I'll do it the right way. I've come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. You're not just living in abundance. You're living in the abundant life. Yeah. Wow. See, because we think abundance is concerning my pocketbook. No, he's trying to cause you to live in the abundant life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He shows up with more than is required. He says, do this. Know this, that the trying of your faith works with patience. Do this, let patience have a perfect work with you. Then enjoy this, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He didn't say, think this. feel this. He didn't even say experience this. He said know this. See, he wants to lead us with patience. He wants to walk with patience. We have to stay in patience. Let patience have a perfect work. And if you don't understand this, he said, and if any of you lack wisdom on how this is supposed to work, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And he's not going to be mad because he doesn't upbraid. He's not going to be mad because you asked. But he says, watch this, watch this. So when we get to the place where we're having these conversations in the spirit, when we are acting as God has instructed us to act, okay, notice what's going to happen here. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Why? Because he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind. Again, he says that when you ask the right way, it'll be given to you. Again, he makes it personal, doesn't he? It'll be given him. And then he says, now that you have that, don't ask the wrong way. He's going to say that again. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, so that you can consume them on your lust. He says, if you're going to be a person that's wavering, or if you have the same, no, he wants to change your conversation. Did you get that? When patience is active, it changes the way you talk. Don't let him ask with wavering. Come on, okay. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So then God wants to talk to you, but you've changed your position because you're unstable. Unstable as water. That's what he told, I can't remember his name. What was it? Reuben, I think he said, you're unstable as water. See? So he says, don't be wishy-washy trying to get things done just because you thought of it. He said, ask in faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you ask in faith, you can literally say, ask according to the word, not ask according to your emotions. Don't ask according to the way you think. Ask in faith. Ask according to the word. Okay? Because when we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions desired of him. See, I'm asking in faith. I just took his promise and said his promise. I regurgitated his word to him. And since his word cannot come back to him void, I know that he heard me. And if I know that he hears me, I know I. This is my confidence. This is my confidence. See? We take the guesswork right out of it. We take the frustration right out of it. Because if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, then I know I have the petitions that I desire of him. 1 John 5:14. See? It gets to be real easy, y'all. And then what he also just took the devil out of play. See? There's nothing the devil can come to me with the half God says, because I know I have prayed according to his will. And if I know I prayed according to his will, then I know he hears me. And if I know he hears me, I know that I will have the petitions that I desire of him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, I said, ask according to the word. And so I've had a sister that gave a testimony, and she meant well. Lord knows she did. And the testimony was that the Lord told her to go buy a lottery ticket. And then she told that, it was for her brother, it wasn't for her. The Lord told her to tell her brother to go buy a lottery ticket. And then the lottery ticket was something like $5,000 in winnings. And so she said, well, I'm just so glad that I heard from God. I just don't know the scripture that you can find that says that you're supposed to go and gamble. Because God is trying to take the gambling scenario out of your thinking, the hope something happens some kind of way out of your thinking. If I ask according to the will of God, that which is written, then I know I have the desires. See, it's not about I hope I hit. I don't have to hope I hit. I said what he told me to say. I get the results that he promised me when he said it. See? And then we eliminate that, because if you do that the first time, then you're going to go back and have confidence in that. And then when you need it, it's not going to happen, because that was not how God wanted you. He's not a God that was interested in being fleeced. See? That's what Gideon did. He kept going to God and saying, well, if you're going to do this, then prove it to me by letting the sheep's wool be wet. Let the sheep wool be dry and all the ground be wet. And God just did that. See, these are things that God winked at in times past, but now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. See? Because he wants your steps to be the steps that are ordered, not the steps that are guessing. That would be the only problem. It's not that you didn't receive, again, you didn't receive something, but it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Did not say you wasn't going to receive anything. Please know that the devil, who is a liar, who is a deceiver, is trying to get you to walk in steps that were not ordained for you. And he's not opposed to you having money. Because if he can get you to get the money the wrong way, he has you. Because there is not one Shaddai that would cause you to be able to understand that being truth. See? In the Old Testament, you see them and hear about them casting lots. They did not have the Spirit of God. So then that's all they understood, and God allowed that. But then he said, Jesus told us, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I want perfect information coming to you, something that is sustainable. So that would be the reason that we don't do that. We don't try to play games with God, because when we're playing games with God in that regard, we are now playing games with our destiny and our future. He's made you more than a conqueror, not just a hopeful person that's trying to get something to happen that would be good for them. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See? The reason that the wave thinking, that's what he said. He says a man that is double-minded is driven with the sea and tossed. So in that place, you end up being lost in the sauce. A wave of insignificance and with no distinction. And God is trying to make your name great. That's what he told him. He said he will make your name great. He will make you a blessing. He will bless you and you will be a blessing. That he will make your name great. See, we have to start with the word, stay with the word, then we'll win with the word. We start in faith, we stay in faith, and we win in faith. We start with patience, stay with patience, and we win with patience. So if I'm going to go to the lottery, and if I'm going to try to find patience being consistently, constantly the same, I mean, wait, you know that people that gamble don't win every time. In fact, Las Vegas is warning you to come back and gamble again, because they know the odds are with the house. Amen. They're not mad because you won. You're going to advertise that you won. Now other people are going to come and try the same thing. And the odds are always with the house. So why then would God take you away from the house of prayer to establish you in the house of chance? Because you have to be constantly the same. So that if you do it one time, you're going to have to depend on that to be every time. That's not sustainable. There have been people that have went into Las Vegas and end up winning and losing the same money that they came there with. Not the money they won. That's gone. But they lost the money they came there with. Because God doesn't set his kingdom up like that. This is not a by chance kingdom. This is a kingdom that is structured on his word. And his word abides and lives and abides forever. See? So, I mean, we've got to get out of this hope we get something done kind of thing and just allow God to do what he promised. I mean, even you think about it, when you don't win, you kind of get upset with everybody. The machine now is rigged and everything else. See? That's because the devil's trying to train you in the thing that's against you. He's trying to get you off course any way that he can. So then I would ask us not to assist the devil. We're supposed to resist the devil. We're supposed to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto us. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. So that tells me I can't keep playing in his field and expecting him to flee. How do we stop this strife? How do we cause our faith to be established, to be steadfast, to be sure? How do we do that? And then how do we allow the testimony of a steadfast, faithful God to be seen? Okay, come on, y'all. If you go and tell somebody that this is the way you did it, they're going to try to do it and they don't get it, what's going to happen? See? So then your testimony now does not bring anybody into the place where blessing can flow. Now they have to get involved with trying to make it flow. I mean, God has so much blessing that he daily loads individuals with blessing. I didn't say give them a blessing. He says he daily loads us with benefit. Come on. So that means he got an inexhaustible supply of benefit. Gambling does not have an inexhaustible supply. You know the song, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, know when to walk away, because it's not guaranteed. See? The testimony of the Lord, I'm just quoting Psalms 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure. We've been given a more sure word of prophecy, that you would do well to take heed, because the day star is going to arise, a light is going to come on. And this promise that he has in this regard, it is of no private interpretation. That means it won't work for this one and not work for that one. It's going to work every time, all the time, for whosoever will. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we love. He is trying to get us to walk in, live in our abundance. James chapter 1 verse 12 through 20 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Let no man say when I'm tempted of God. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Please, God is trying to get you into his presence, and we are practicing things that would draw us away from his presence.
Every man is enticed when he is drawn away of his own lust. It's been said, you heard it, that you can't outgive God. Why, if you can't outgive him, would he set up a thing that's going to take you away from him? Because the first time that this formula that we come up, whatever that formula would be, doesn't work, then we're not going to be close to God, are we? And then he says, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. You know, I have an understanding that lust has to become intimate with something in order for conception to take place. Amen. Lust conceives. Well, what does the lust conceive with? It would conceive in the heart of an unbeliever, someone that does not believe. So they take an unbelieving heart with a lust that was not a desire that was godly. And now that unbelieving heart and that unholy desire brings forth sin. If you have revenge, that is an unbelieving heart. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so then you bring your desire for retribution and an unbelieving heart together, and it produces sin. Did you see that? And the thing is that all the time that your unbelieving heart and your own personal lust, they're just playing with you, toying with you, pushing you to the edge for more and more and more unbelief and lust, pushing you away from God so that this becomes your norm. And it does that increasing sin. And then it says, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And this happens in every arena, because we go to God in various arenas. We go to God for healing in our body, for healing in our spirit, for healing in our soul. We go to God for each one of those. And if we have a lust and a heart that doesn't believe, then we can't believe for healing, can we? If we have a heart of lust and unbelief in the area of my mental capacity and function, and I take that, I can't get that mental function straightened out. I can't activate the mind of Christ, can I? This happens in every arena. Spirit, soul, and body. See, we get used to whatever that is that allows us to go further and further away from God without the destruction that we see. Again, the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. And since we don't understand that there's a difference between corruption and destruction, then we keep doing what we're doing. Corruption is destruction on a slow pace. Rust happens a little bit at a time. But if rust is allowed to stay there, the weak metal will completely come apart. Because over time, the strength of the steel has been waned down to nothing. And then it crumbles and falls apart. That's corruption. Destruction is like a hurricane come through, boom, everything's changed the next day. You can see that right quick. But God told us, if you sow to the flesh, corruption is what happens. A slow process of dying. And so all the time, you do what that frog does in the water. You think that it's okay to be in the water, not knowing that you're dying minute by minute. They don't put the frog in the hot water because he would hop right back out. They put him in the cold water and let the temperature rise slowly. He doesn't know he's being killed. That's exactly what the enemy does to your life. See, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. See, you learn how not to depend on God, how to make your own way, and then you keep doing that, and the corruption that is causing in your life, causing in your faith walk, causing in your prayer walk, causing in your spiritual understanding of things, that corruption now separates you from God, and that is death. Separation from God is death. Because now it's so bad, you don't even know if you can get back to God for life. Because there will be thoughts that will be given to you that you so far removed from God that he can't even accept you back. Even though his word said that he's able to deliver to the uttermost. See? But because you've been corrupt in your thinking, destruction happens. So it says, if you will know, again, right here, do not err. This is the way it's going to be. Don't get it confused. This is the way it goes. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If it's a good gift, if it's a perfect gift, every good and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights. Did you hear that? It comes down. That means I cannot work it up. Come on. I cannot generate it myself. It comes down from the Father of lights. So if I'm working it up, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Because a good gift, a perfect gift, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He begat us with the word of truth, not the escapades of deception. So again, find it in the word. Start with the word, stay with the word, finish with the word. Start in faith, stay in faith, win in faith. Start in patience, stay with patience, win with patience. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Everything that you get from the Father, everything that you get from the Father comes through his word. If it didn't come through his word, it would be wise for you to leave it alone. Because of his own will, he begat us, caused us to be born again, with the word of truth. And he that has begun a good thing, he's faithful to complete it. So what would he use? His word. He has exalted his word above everything. That's why he wants you to learn his word, pay attention to his word. Because whatever comes in your life should come through the word. See? Wherefore, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man does not employ the righteousness of God, does not work the righteousness of God. Remember, he told us in Romans that all of these things, patience is supposed to employ, hope is supposed to employ, experience is supposed to employ. But if I'm mad, if I have strife, it says that does not work, employ the righteousness of God. Go to James chapter 3. See, these are spiritual executions, and they happen because of spiritual laws. They happen on the automatic, in a heartbeat. This is why we have to stay away from strife, because it's deadly. See, we'll think one way opposite of what God said, and he told us, I don't want you to do anything but know this. See? The Proverbs 17, 14 says that strife is at the beginning of one that lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. So then we're going to have to get our hearts in a place where we're not looking for a fight. Amen. The blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say blessed are the peace finders. So why are we looking for a fight? Oh, Lord. Why are we trying to, first of all, in order to make somebody wrong and you right, that's probably going to be a part of judgment. And he told you to judge not. Amen. But we have this propensity to want to be right and want to be proved that we know something. So then we enter into areas of division, strife. And it says, no, that's not what I want for you. See? It says, leave off strife. Last week I said that the Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it's an honor for man to flee from strife. Don't worry about strife. Stop it. Leave it alone. But every fool will be meddling. See? It's about a choice. The choice of wisdom and power or the choice of envy and strife. Wisdom from above or wisdom through strife and struggle. Chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. He asks a question. He says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and either a vine figs? So no fountain can do two things. It will not yield salt water and fresh water. It says no fountain, no supply. Again, so then our gambling, he said that would be salt water, and we're supposed to have fresh water. Okay. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle. That's what the word conversation there means. Let him show out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. Again, I just need to say just this. Ancillary things, but it, when you win the lottery, I don't know how much meekness stays in there. Usually if you win something that you didn't need or deserve, and I said that the way I heard it, because you don't need trouble in your life. You don't need corruption in your life, okay? But when you win that money, usually meekness is gone. Because pride is going to come in. And when pride comes in, get ready for the fall. Only by pride comes destruction, comes failure, comes strife, comes contention. Only by pride. That's the fruit of pride. But if you have envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Remember, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. There is a wisdom that does not come from above. It is earthy, sensual, devilish. Okay? I mean, just so that you can see, if I'm doing the things that flesh would require, flesh would demand, that would be earthy, sensual, devilish. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. See, when we enter into places that we shouldn't be, then what we do is we try to protect the place that we are, even though we know we shouldn't be there. So what enters in when that happens? Envying and strife. You can't tell me, yeah, I know, what is that? When you say you can't tell me this or that is strife.
And because you have envy and strife, there is confusion. Do you see that? It says, if you can find, identify envy or strife that is continual. He said envying. That doesn't mean that it was the one time I was mad and I forgave him and we're good now. No, he said this is a perpetual work. Where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Watch this, y'all. Didn't see this. Look up at verse 14. He says, if you got bitter envying, I didn't even know that there was stratifications for envy. Woo. Little envy might be one thing, but he said there's a bitter envying. And he said, if that's in your heart, what's going to come up is some lying. Did you see that? Glory not in your heart and lie not against the truth. Okay? See? So then notice what happens if you don't allow the word of God to take place, take root in your heart, then you're going to revert to doing things that you shouldn't do as a Christian, as a saint, because there's bitter envying and strife in your heart. He says, something's going to happen with your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And since your heart has been filled with things that are unholy, then what's going to come out is a thing that is unholy, a lie. See? And then because of that, your heart will start being confused and start allowing every evil. But he says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Enjoy that for a while. Then it's peaceable. Enjoy that for a while. As you grow in it, you can stay in that which is pure. You're not going to be in a hurry to get out of it because it's always going to be refreshing. It's pure. It's gentle. It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruit. You know, if you participate in the lottery, what has happened is that everybody that finds out you got the money now wants to come get the money, and that just ain't no fun at all. You want to shut them down because all you think they're there for is to get to the money. But see, if you listen to God, then your abundant living would be able to invite them into it because it would be full of good fruit. Fruit is not for you. Fruit is for those that are around you. You are the one that produced the fruit, so then the fruit's not for you. It came through you. The fruit is for others. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and I will make your name great. See? So when you submit yourself to God and stay away from the traps that strife brings, he says, that would be from the wisdom that is from above, that's first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated. It'll be full of mercy. It'll be full of good fruits without partiality. This one can have it, but that one can't. This one I'll bless, but that one I won't. It says it won't be that way. You will be a blessing. Without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, this is a different place of execution in the Word of God. Not that it's new because it wasn't written before, but because we haven't operated in it much at all. We would rather go ahead and do things that take care of us for and no more. And the way that we keep people away from us would be strife. We threaten them. We holler at them. We demand of them. When the wisdom that is from above is gentle, pure, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of compassion, good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy. These are the things that God is wanting us to do as we grow in grace. See? Now, I quoted just a minute in Matthew 5 that said the peacemakers are the ones that are blessed because they are called God's children. They are called people connected to the Father. People that offer the Father's understanding to ones that are hurting because they just made peace. But the choice is yours. Are we going to continue to scuffle, fight with the plan of God because we don't like the people that he's put in front of us? We're going to enter into strife with God because he said, go ye, and we say, I'm not going to go, not with them. I mean, this strife is seen in our lives in so many ways. And we're going to have to decide, purpose, and understand that strife is simply the pathway for my destruction. It is the pathway to my failure. It is the pathway to my separation from God, which is death. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for every opportunity that we have to hear truths that would transform, that would cause us to be able to release your love and your tender mercies in the earth. Thank you, Father, that now becomes our mission, our calling, so that people will know that we are your disciples, disciplined by you, because love rules, not strife. Because love is seen, not hurt and pain. Thank you, Father, that you're growing us up in these things in this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Well, as I told you in the beginning, if you have any questions or comments, you can write them down and we can see what how iron can sharpen iron in this time. So 678-524-7768. You have the mic, 678-524-7768. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Go ahead, 678-524-7768. Amen. We're not going to put you on the spot. You don't want to say nothing, that's okay. Thank you for joining the call. Area code 678-517-6710. 678-517-6710. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry today? Go ahead. You have the mic. 678-517-6710. Amen. Again, thank you for joining the call. This is just a growing exchange. This is not something that we're trying to put you on the spot to trick you or anything like that. We're just allowing iron to sharpen iron so that we can all get further along in this, because you will say something that will prompt someone else to say, yes, I did hear that. My pastor calls it running laps. What did you like? What did you learn? How can you apply it? So that it's real simple in that regard. 678 678-373-9688. 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry? Go ahead.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Steve. That was an awesome, awesome delivery tonight. The word is a rhema word. God is so faithful. I thank you for all that you do, all that you just, your diligence. And amen. I just thank you for the word for tonight. No questions.
Amen.
Just
amen.
Thank you for the word.
Appreciate that. Thank you for that encouragement. It's my pleasure to come before you each week and present whatever God has given me, and I'm hoping that it will strengthen you and cause you to be able to stand against the thing that the devil has imagined for you. And I said it exactly how the scripture says. It says that it's a vain imagination that shall not come to pass. You know, if we resist him, then the Bible says he flees. So then the thing that he purposed is just an imagination. He has to get us to follow the deception, which sometimes means that we grovel in our pain, we grovel in bad experience, and so then he's able to cause us to miss the thing that faith brings, because faith strengthens you. Amen. Faith causes you to stand uprightly. And when you stand uprightly, God says, I will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. He's trying to get you in the place of blessing any way that he can. He will come and meet you in your mess and then wash you by the word so that you can stand in faith. And then as you stand in faith, it gives you access to this grace wherein we stand, so that we can then begin to work the process. We can work the hope. We can work the experience. We can work the patience. And then victory becomes normal in our lives. So again, I'd like to thank everyone for being a part of the ministry tonight. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please go to the webpage and go to the donate tab and give to your heart is released. The first time I said that, but I do mean it, because God is he has the ability to require you to enter into new dimensions of his love and grace, and it's going to be by what you can connect to. And the way you connect is through your giving. That's one way of connecting with God, okay? So then if the Lord lays it on your heart to give, and it, whatever that is that God is laying on your heart, give to your heart is released. Amen. Because then that empowers him to give to your heart is thoroughly blessed. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall not one man, but shall men give unto your bosom. So until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Be beloved. Be blessed.